I will be reading Psalm 15. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord, who may enter your presence on your holy hill, those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts, those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends, those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep the promises even when it hurts, those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever.
It's amazing to me how many times people will tell me, I'm not sure what the Lord wants me to do. I'm not sure what the Lord wants me to do. And Pastor, can you help me understand what the Lord wants me to do? Well, I want to admit to you that David writes in this very short, very simple psalm, 10 different things that we're supposed to be about. And as I look at these 10 different things, I often would wonder, why would somebody ask me what we need to be about as a Christian if they know this psalm? Because you see, it's all there. And the psalm asks the question, how do we know if we're dwelling in God's kingdom? How do we know that? How will I know that I'm part of God's kingdom and living in the midst of God's kingdom? What would be my understanding of that, and how would I know that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do? And you see, David lists 10 things. And all 10 of these things, these answers are either moral qualities or interpersonal attitudes. They're either moral qualities or interpersonal attitudes. Now, I will admit that as I say some of these, some of you might go, "Now you're meddling. Now, Pastor, you're talking about things that I'm not sure I want to change in my life." So I would ask you just to pay very close attention as I go through these 10 different qualities. And some of them need no explanation. It's just a matter of hearing them and recognizing what they are. You see, after David asked, "Who dwells in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain?" He says, "The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous." The one whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous. That's much easier to understand than sometimes we want to make it. Much easier. Are you about doing what Jesus did as he was here upon earth? Are you about walking out and trying to set things right in the midst of our society, in the midst of our communities? And are you blameless? The second one that David talks about is who speaks the truth from their heart. Speaks the truth from their heart. I appreciate David qualifying this a little bit, because maybe it's not always nice to speak the absolute, total truth. How does my new hairdo make me look? Maybe there's a nice way to say and a nice way to make a comment from the heart, knowing that the words that I use might be hurtful. And if you're like me, you've found out that once you say those words, you can't take them back. I've joked for years, and it started with my brother. His wife always used to tell him, and probably still does, "Mikey, you need to use your inside voice. meaning inside your head. Or my brother might say, he'll say something, he'll go, oops, did I use my outside voice? You know, folks, sometimes we just need to think about what we're going to say before we say it. Speak the truth. I mean, there is a way to speak the truth with people that need to know that they're walking the wrong way and still being very compassionate about it and sharing with them in such a way that they understand that what they're doing is hurtful and it can be more helpful to live a different way. David also says that those who live in the kingdom of God are those whose tongues utter no slander. Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful in the midst of, and this is as close as I'm going to get to this, wouldn't that be wonderful in the midst of our political world that people could utter things without slander? And I'll just say, right from the top on down. And that's as close as you'll hear me talk about political. But that's what's before us each and every day. That's what's before us all the time. Wouldn't it be nice if people in the midst of businesses knew how not to slander? How would that help a business to grow and to expand? If one employee was not talking about another employee in a harmful way. Do you know that some churches have that problem too? Some people in churches talk about other people in churches. If it's slander, it's best left never said. Never. Weigh your words before you speak them. David goes on to say, it's those who do no wrong to a neighbor. You know, I'm just so tired of my neighbor cutting his bushes and leaving all the cuttings on my lawn. The next time I cut my bushes, I'm going to make sure my neighbor gets some. How's that for a thought? You know, my neighbor does this, and it just irritates me to no end. Turnabout is fair play, we say, don't we? They get what they deserve. They had it coming to them. What if we didn't treat neighbors that way? David says that the people that treat neighbors that way don't live in God's kingdom. And then I think about a rich young man comes to Jesus and asks, how do I get into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And the man says, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus says, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a nationality and a people that you don't like and how kind they were. And then Jesus asked the man, who's your neighbor? And he says, anybody I meet. Yes, that person that parks wrongly next to you in the Walmart parking lot is your neighbor. Yes, the cashier that has a very snappy attitude and really doesn't want to check you out and can't wait to clock out for the day, that's your neighbor. the person across the street from you that leaves their trash out and the dogs get into it and spread it everywhere? That's your neighbor. Folks, we need to be looking at these things and trying to understand them a little bit more. The next one is, David says, is those who cast no slur on others. How easy it is to especially say something about people that we don't even know. How judgmental we can be and say something wrong about somebody who happens to be sitting on the side of the street that looks like they haven't had a bath in a week. And we say something about them. David says the next one is those who despise a vile person. Well, that's an easy one, isn't it? Of course I don't like evil people. Be careful, don't say anything about them, because it says those who slander and those who slur. And then David says, but it's those who honor those who respect and fear the Lord. The next one's pretty tough. Those who keep an oath, even when it hurts, and do not change their mind. I've had to learn as a pastor to be very careful what I say. Very careful. We visit with someone, and when we visit with them, and they ask us, oh, please come back, what do we normally say? We will. David says the person who says that makes sure that they do. Even if it hurts them. Even if it costs them. Because they've already said it, they do it. Even at great cost to themselves. Think about it as you talk with other people, especially in the community of faith. But also think about it as you talk with people who need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you say a word to them and don't follow up on your word, well, first off, let's deal with community of faith people. When you tell people in the community of faith that you're going to do something, you're going to follow through on something, you know what the pastor gets to hear when you don't? They said they're a Christian. You know what they did to me? Because you didn't follow through on what you told folks. Now here's what happens when you're talking to folks that need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and you don't follow through on your word. Well, what good's that religion stuff? Because they're not living it. You see, David says that once we say something, we got to stick to it. Even if it ends up hurting us. Even if it ends up costing us. Those who lend money to the poor without interest. Boy, that's not right in our society, is it? To lend money to someone without any interest? Although there's some countries in the world now that when they lend money, they give you money because there's negative interest rates in their countries. That don't process for me. You're going to lend me $10,000 and you're going to give me $10,100 for lending it to me and I don't owe you anything? You see, I learned from my father, who learned from his father. We have a rule in our family, you never charge family interest. Never. Had to borrow some money from my dad once for a reason, And he came to me and he says, I'll loan it to you. No interest. You tell me how you're going to pay it back. He left all the terms up to me. I've done the same thing with my children. Look at what David says, who lends money to the poor without interest. What a dynamic that help that would be in the midst of this country, wouldn't it? Who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Folks, there's an awful lot of things right here in these five verses. If you were to come to me and say, I don't know how the Lord wants me to live or what the Lord wants me to do, and I would just say, go and look at Psalm 15. Can you find things there? It's nice to know these things. It is nice to know these things, isn't it? But a spiritual person will find a way to do them. A spiritual person will find a way to do them. When the words slip out of my mouth and I say something wrong, and I realize it, now is the time to correct it. Not 20 years from now. Now's the time to stop and correct it. When somebody comes and needs some funds and they're down on their luck, I'd encourage you to go even one step further. Loan them the money and never expect it back. Would that not be in the nature of what Jesus says? If somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. If somebody asks for your cloak, give them your coat too. Folks, we need to find ways to do these things. Because I'm convinced that if we find some ways to do these things, because this is not how our world operates, is it? If I were to ask you to take Psalm 15 and write it for the way America works, or the way America tends to try to work, could you rewrite this psalm? Some of it's pretty easy, isn't it? Speak as illy as you can about somebody else because that elevates you even further in life. Isn't that what some people believe? The more I can push you down, the higher I go. That's where I bring up what I think one of my grandmothers taught me. Takes one to know one. You recognize sometimes the bad attributes of other people because it's part of your life too. And it's something you know you need to work on. And you can recognize it in other people pretty easy. And, by the way, that's why it irritates you so much. Because you know it so well. What happens if we were out in the world doing some of these things? You know, I think there's room here for each and every one of us to find an aspect to grow spiritually. Each and every one of us. There's something here that we can grow spiritually with. We could spend a month with Psalm 15 just looking at it, just praying through it, asking God to reveal to us those parts of our lives that are not living the way David calls for us to live. Wouldn't that, I think we could spend a whole month on that, couldn't we? Just praying through it, just looking at it, asking God to help us. You see, that's the exciting thing for me. Is that God doesn't put something like this in the Word of God and just leave us with it. We have resources to work through it. We have resources in the Holy Spirit. We have resources in the community of faith. The people can come alongside of us and can help us when our words hurt sometimes when we speak them. When our attitude's not quite right, people can help us. I want to encourage you just to take this psalm and just look at it. Read through it time and time again. And ask God, God, what is here that I need to see the most? What is here that I need to work on first? Because I'll admit to you, I can see all 10 things and I can go, man, that's a long list. And it'll take me forever to get through all 10 things. And God says, that's okay. Let's work on one. Let's just take one of them. And let's just work on one. With my help, we can do it. And you might come to me and say, Pastor, that's still impossible. Well, let me remind you, God's the God of the impossible. When you tell me, well, that's the way I was born, and that's the way I grew up, and that's the way I've always done things, and that's the way it's always happened, guess what? God's the God of the impossible. In bringing transformation where we say it can't happen. So I ask you to think about this. Which one of these qualities do you need to concentrate on improving? Which one? I think for all of us, we can find at least one of them that we need to work on. So I ask you to spend some time really thinking about this and just leaving this psalm before you and saying, God, show me that I might grow in the way you want me to, so that I might be able to affect people in this world to come to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, it's easy for us to look through this list and sometimes notice other people who need to work on these things. But that's not what you're asking us to do. You're asking us to sit down and truly allow this word deep within our hearts. And that as it comes deep within our hearts, you want to help us to transform these things that need to be transformed. So I pray, Lord, that you would guide us. Not to just let this be a word that sounds nice, but that a word by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and our lives will help us to become truly people that know we live in the midst of the kingdom of God. And that as others see us, they'll be able to say the same thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.